you have your Bible tonight, if you'll turn with me to the book of Luke in the 7th chapter, that's where we'll begin our study in just a moment of time. Good to have some visiting with us tonight. I encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song that's been suggested. If you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready where you can make your life right with God this very evening. In the book of Luke in the 7th chapter, I want to begin reading with you at verse 36. Then one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." You know, when you take your Bible and you examine the New Testament, the invitation of Jesus to this man's house is one of the great scenes. And it's a picture of real life. And for this evening, for just a few moments of our time, I'd like for us to look at three portraits. The first portrait I want to put into our heart is that of the weeping sinner. In the book of Luke and the 7th chapter, you find where this woman came, and notice how she is identified in Scripture. Her name is never mentioned, and not much is said about her except one thing. She is identified as a woman of that city who was a sinner. And I want you to recognize that her sin had been brought out. Whatever it was that she had done, whatever sin she had been engaged in, she'd become known as a sinner to the people of that city. I do not know what she may have done, but one thing I do know is that she had been called a sinner. I wonder how long people had looked at her and they had given her that label. And I've often wondered how long she may have tried to get rid of that sin and get rid of that stigma. And she may have had fear of others, the sneers and belittling of people that she might receive because of her sin. And then I want you to think about that. How could she face the pure one? Notice, my friend, in your Bible that in verse 47, we recognize that she had many sins. And so when you look at this woman, you'll find that she is a woman who's identified as a sinner, and that no barrier could stop her from getting to Jesus. When she finds out that Jesus is at this man's house, who is a Pharisee identified as Simon, she would let nothing keep her from getting to the Son of God. She recognizes Jesus is there, and she says, "I'm going to Him," because her eyes were upon Jesus. And there was joy in her heart that day. And notice what she does. As we've already read, she'd brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. She stood at His feet behind Him weeping, and she washed His feet with her tears, wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed His feet. She gave Him every greeting at that particular time. But now then, notice the second individual in our study and get a portrait of Simon the Pharisee. And I want you to think about what a great contrast between the woman and this man who was supposed to be one of the religious elite. We have no reason to believe that he was by any means an evil person. The Lord did not charge him for any immoral act. Evidently, he was very interested in religion, for he had invited Jesus into his home. But notice that when this woman came in, he did not see the tears of the woman. He did not see the woman at the foot of Jesus, because all he saw was a sinner. Notice in your Bible that when he saw, in verse 39, this woman at the feet of Jesus, he said if Jesus or this man were a prophet, he would know who and what manner of woman this is who's touching him, for she is a sinner. All he had in his mind is the iniquity of the woman.
All that he could concentrate upon was the label that had been attached to her. He had not thought about the fact she could change. He had not thought about the fact that she could become a disciple. But all that he was concerned about was the fact she was a sinner. No doubt he was like the Pharisee in Luke 18, who when he went up to pray, remember, stood by the publican. And that one Pharisee, when he looked at the publican, said to God, "I'm thankful I'm not like this man." He said, I fast, I tithe, I do all these things. But the publican would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." So here was someone who was so pure in his own mind that he could not see his own sin. He could see the sin of others, but he could not identify his own sin. He was cold, he was selfish, and he had a proud spirit. But then if you take your Bible, look again in the book of Luke in the 7th chapter at the 3rd picture. And this time, notice that Jesus up to this point had been silent. The woman had come into the house. She had done all these things for Jesus. And Simon looked upon the woman and thought within his heart that she is a woman who's a sinner and Jesus is not rebuking her. But now Jesus in verse 40 answers him. He says, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he said, "Master, say on." And I've often wondered, was he sarcastic in his response? But notice what Jesus said. In verse 41, "There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered and said, and again, I wonder if there's not sarcasm, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have rightfully judged." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman?" Up to this point, he'd not seen the woman's actions. All he saw was a sinner. Jesus is going to point something out about the woman. And notice what Jesus said. Jesus said, "I entered into your house. You gave me no water for my feet." That was a custom of the day. When you walked, you went everywhere you went, you walked, and your feet would become dusty. And when you'd go into a house, they would offer you water to wash your feet. And notice, Simon did not even offer the most simplistic of hospitality. He did not even give Jesus' feet water to wash his feet. But this woman washes his feet with her tears. And notice, Jesus also says, "You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in." That was the customary greeting of that day. You would kiss the cheek of one who was coming into your house. But Simon was having a hands-off approach. He invited Jesus into his house, but did not show the simple acts of hospitality. Here was a woman who had washed his feet with her tears, wiped it with her hair of her head, and had kissed the feet. But notice in verse 46, he said, "You did not anoint my head with oil." That was a custom of the day. That was to cleanse. That was to purify. And yet notice that at this time, that man offered no oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Now then, look at what Jesus says in verse 47. "Therefore, I say to you, Simon, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much." Jesus points to this woman and said, she has had great sins in her past, but notice her love for me. And notice he said, her sins are forgiven, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And then, my friend, can you imagine the feeling in her heart? And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. I want you to note, my friend, when Jesus spoke to Simon, he said, I have something to say to you. Do you see this woman? And note, he doesn't call her the sinner. He doesn't call her a negative name. He said, this woman. And notice that Jesus commends her. Here was a downtrodden woman who was seeking forgiveness, and she came to the right person. She did the right thing, and because of that, Jesus forgave her. Now, let us observe some lessons. The first thing I want us to put into our mind tonight is that great sinners need a great Savior. And may I say tonight, every one of us is a great sinner. Because we have violated the law of God, we transgressed the law of God, we have gone contrary to the will of God. And then notice, my friend, Jesus talks about the many sins. Jesus could be speaking to us. Others may belittle us, they may talk about our past, they remind us of all we've done, made all the mistakes we made. But notice, Jesus wants to blot that out. Your sins may be great, but He is a greater Savior. And He's made a way that our sins can be blotted out. How? Through His blood. In Ephesians 1:7, it says, in Him there's redemption. Through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. When one is immersed into Christ in baptism, they're raised to walk in newness of life, and that past life that has been filled with sin has been blotted out. But then notice, secondly, my friend, great love should be shown to great sinners. When they came to Jesus, notice in verse 10, it said she loved much, and Jesus returned that. He showed it initially. As Christians, we should show great love to those who come to the Lord, to those who repent of their sin, no longer walk in their sin, make every change they need to make so that they can become a disciple of Christ, and when they put on Christ, we show great love to those who come to the Lord. Because just like us, they need mercy. But how many times have we looked down? But then thirdly, look at the great gratitude and love of this woman. She loved much. I'll tell you, my friend, that's sweet words. And think about when Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. This woman loved the Lord and was grateful that her sins were forgiven. No more guilt, no more turmoil on the inside. And I don't know of any sweeter words this woman would want to hear from the Christ than your sins are forgiven. Now, Simon sat there. And as far as we know, he never heard those words. Maybe later. But why would he not have heard those words? He never humbled himself like this woman. This woman saw her sin, came to Jesus, and wanted Jesus to take away her sin. This man was so puffed up, he would not see his own sin. She may have been humiliated by what others said, but I'll tell you one thing, my friend. It takes humility to come to Jesus. I see a lot of people so puffed up, and they talk about how they'll never be a disciple of Christ. They don't need God. They're not going to live for God. I'll tell you, my friend, your pride will send you into eternal damnation. That's exactly what Simon was doing. And I see it all the time with people. But I'll tell you, my friend, when you look, Jesus gave a great invitation. Open your Bible to the book of Matthew in the 11th chapter. In Matthew chapter 11, look at what it said in verse 28. Jesus said, come to me. Now, who am I to go to? Jesus. And notice he said, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Notice that the invitation is to all. Come to me, all. And look closely at the three pictures. Do you see Jesus there? Now look at the other two. Do you see the Pharisee? And do you see the woman? Which is a better picture of you? Somebody that humbles themselves to come to Jesus, or someone who's so puffed up they don't think they need Jesus? And notice, my friend, He invites us to have our sins forgiven. How do I have my sins forgiven? By coming to Jesus and accepting His terms of pardon and obeying His word. when I am baptized into Christ, I have accepted the terms of pardon and justified by the blood of Christ. I've been redeemed by His blood. I'm raised to walk in newness of life. I am now a Christian. Someone could try to bring up my past and I could say, that's not me anymore. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight and you need to obey the gospel, our prayer is you would be like that woman and humble yourself and obey the word of God this very night. As together we stand and sing, we cordially invite you.